Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Brian Dennis, who is a senior Eastern Region field trainer for Growmark. He is an experienced field trainer in learning and development, and he has a history of working in a variety of industries, which this kind of blew my mind, Brian, in agriculture, energy, retail, catering, food and beverage, multi-unit, and P&L management. He's a strong operations professional with a degree focused in business administration and management. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Well, why don't you start by introducing yourself, your role, and talking a little bit about your company?
So you mentioned my role. I'm a field trainer, so I'm out in the field in the agriculture and energy piece we have with our company, Growmark, as well. With that being said, I have about 6.5 years of agriculture experience in energy, and that's in any field, just a very, very small piece, to be quite honest with you. Former to working with Growmark, I was a little bit in retail, but I spent over 30 years in the restaurant field, really in the operations piece. So I was a general manager, multi-unit manager, just did a bunch of different things, you name it, in the restaurant side. So that operations experience has taken me a long way, even though I do development and training now. So I would say that piece has been important to me because it's important to know the reality when you're out in the field, because sometimes in training development, folks live in a perfect kind of world that everything should be able to happen, and operations is not always that case. So I'm glad I have that. I actually work remotely out in the eastern side of the country, and I support Canada, and then really anything between Canada clear down to South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, and as far over as Ohio. So it's a pretty wide range. I support probably anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 folks and companies that Growmark owns, their retail companies, and also member companies that we support from a learning development standpoint that they buy our products. So we have support out in the field there. So that's kind of a little bit of my background. What my role is and what I do in my position is I do sales training, leadership development, supervisor training, and then I do location training as well. So you name it, from folks at every level, truck drivers, admins, customer service reps, applicators out in the field. And again, I don't do technical training, so I don't do product training. I do more behavioral-based training and that type of thing. So that kind of gives, a background of what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's such a broad group of learners. Could you talk a little bit about some of these learners and like what challenges are they facing?
Absolutely. I think the learners themselves and folks that are in any job position, I don't care what industry it is, to me, it's the internal interactions with each other. And just like a family, right? You have all those conflicts that you deal with, seeing eye to eye with different things. I would say that's the biggest challenge that I see out there, regardless of what industry, quite honestly. And I always bring it back to just a couple words. Generally, most people, including myself sometimes, don't seek to understand first and really listen to folks. They just want to be heard. And that's throughout, whether it's an idea that you have where you work, whether it's personally and or professionally. So, you know, one thing that I always, you know, try to bring to the table is whatever we do from a learning development standpoint, or I do with folks, they should be able to take that and utilize that as much personally as professionally. And I think that's a big part, of what we do. I think the other challenge that each of us experiences, all the pressures that outside of work and life brings you. Every single one of us has had something happen in the last several years that impacts our thought process that we struggle with from a personal standpoint. So I think that's very important to make sure we realize. But I would say those are just a couple of things that I see that can be pretty big challenges for folks, including myself.
Absolutely. It's almost like keeping it human, right? Like you got to remember the
Yep.
people that have lots
Absolutely.
of challenges. Exactly. What are some of the biggest workforce development challenges and how do you approach them at Growmark?
I have a couple of things that I guess over the last, especially the last 4 or 5 years, we've really focused in on. One revolves around mindset. A lot of us hear about mindset, and really it starts by us trying to change our own, right? And that's a challenge, just to look at things differently than we have all our lives or that you've come to be accustomed to. So I would say mindset is a big one. And things we've done around mindset. There's a really good author, and he's actually come in and spoke to Growmark folks, and we've used his content, Ryan Godfredson. And he talks a lot about mindsets, and it's based on data. And so we've done a lot of development and training around mindsets at different levels, which has been beneficial. The other key categories I say are challenges, and they tie into what I'd first led off with, is understanding each other's personality style. There's four main ones out there. It doesn't matter if you take it from the DISC profile or Hogan assessments, things like that. And understanding the other personality styles and being able to flex with them is huge at every level. And you talk about conflicts, heck, it's the same personally, right? If you have kids, a spouse, a significant other, friends, sometimes we don't understand why they are the way they are. It's just their personality style. And they're just different than maybe the one that you have. And so we've done a ton of development in the last, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, at every level, just with understanding social styles, personality styles, same thing. The other thing I would say that I've really looked at and thought about, probably more recent than over the last 4 or 5 years, is generations, generational differences. We have anywhere from four to five, roughly, if you look at some of the data and all that, generations in the workforce now. And that also leads to those challenges internally where we don't understand each other. And so a lot of these things, you have to be self-aware. So that's a challenge there, that those three things, I would say. The other piece is, at least the we experience from learning development, is the challenge that folks don't always feel that learning and development is important. So again, that's a mindset, right? And anybody that's in learning and development in some sort probably have experienced this over their careers, and it's trying to get them to understand the why behind it and actually take time for their self-development, whatever it may be, whether it's something that's going to improve work or improve your personal life, and actually allotting the time for that. So I would say those, just in a nutshell, are a lot of things that I view as workplace challenges, and a lot of those stem into our personal lives as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The time one is one we hear a lot where people just don't feel like that they have the time to do any kind of L&D stuff.
Absolutely. Things we've done, we do a lot of leadership and supervisor development on a regular basis. It's not a light switch. Oh, shoot, you went to this development or this training and you're good. You're good to go. Right? Forget about it. It's not, in the other term I always use, a silver bullet. It's not a silver bullet, right? And so supervisors and leaders really need to understand that just because they send somebody doesn't mean that they're good to go. It's almost like I've heard the line, communication doesn't equal awareness. It's a lot more than just, dropping a training or development in. So I guess that would go into challenges as well. But our diligence with that level, the supervisor, location managers, folks that are supervising folks, probably has been at a regular basis. I know in the areas that we have five field trainers throughout Growmark, and that support about 7,000 people. But we all really look at that piece and have structure behind it. And then the other thing I think is really important, and what I know I've done in the areas I support, is that location development. Our customer service reps, our truck drivers, our folks, 75% of our workforce isn't supervisors and leadership. It's all the other positions. And generally, in a lot of companies, you put the support around sales and you put it around leadership. What about all the other folks that are interacting with customers, need that same development opportunity? So that's something I know myself I've really focused on in the companies I support, and we'll continue to do that. At that level, I think it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned earlier, just how you have a lot of different generations like in the workforce now. I mean, we all do, but as the skill sets needed for success continue to shift, what strategies does your team use to ensure that the workforce remains adaptable and prepared? Especially, I think this really applies to having, multiple different generations in the workforce
Absolutely.
right now.
Absolutely. I know one thing we do a lot with the companies, and I'm part of it. I'm not just solely doing it on my own, but we do a lot of strategic planning with companies and really getting them to create their own focuses, right? And their own, we call them pillars or whatever it may be, that you how you identify that, but really having a structured way to look at things over 5 years or 10 years, not just, okay, tomorrow, next week, next month. So our strategic planning, from a field trainer standpoint, we work with folks that are really, really experts in the financial end of our business. We work with all different levels and different support folks. So it's just not me, but we add a lot of different things that add value to those companies and try to get their strategic purpose. The other thing we work with is values and or mission or vision statements. And anybody that's out there knows a lot of folks or a lot of the companies have vision and mission statements, but they don't know what they are. They
Yeah.
just Right? They just create them to create them.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, this sounds good. Slap it on there. Let's go.
Yeah. And oh, we got it. And they do it up here. They do it at a high level and just create it and throw it out. And then there's the communication is an email. Here's the mission statement. Or they post it on their website, right? Or maybe they put it up in a location. So it's way more than that, obviously, in the values and how you live them and what you do with them. So that strategic plan, I would say, is huge when it comes to all the things that you encompass because there's so many different things. Not only from an operations level, but a strategic level, a financial level that you have to combine, and how you do that, I think, how you think it's pretty important. And then along with that same thing is how do you involve every department, every level, in your strategic plan? Because somebody doesn't matter. I think every single position is as important as the next. But do they know how they support that mission statement and vision in their position? And then,
Yeah.
like you said, the generational piece I think is huge because we can't run companies like we did 25, 30, 40 years ago. We just can't. And we have to understand that. And regardless of where we're at, experience, age, you name it, we got to buy that. So I think that's pretty important.
Absolutely. How does your team assess and address skills gaps, kind of to stay agile in this changing workforce?
That's a great question for us as field trainers. We do what we call need development needs assessments. And I think based on our industry, I think a lot of training development professionals do that, but we do that usually twice a year formally. So we sit down with could be leadership, it could be regional managers, whatever that company deems of folks they want to be involved. I sit down sometimes with smaller companies that maybe have an HR person and their general manager or something, but usually there's four or five, upwards of maybe 10 people involved with that. So really, it's just questions and answers that we're getting from them to see what those gaps are, right? And once we find out what those gaps are, how can we help them from the development side with what they've said is important to their company? So we're almost like I almost look at my position as a consultant on top of actually doing that field training and being out there because
Sure.
and really having an open mind. The one thing I don't work directly and I don't supervise anybody. So I'm just trying to look at things as a whole and then, okay, what do we have that we can do? And then also not only what we can do individually or I can do, but what other support mechanisms are out there, not only from our own company, but outside our company. We have in our company we use, we support from a training development, but we also use other companies to partner with that help support the companies that we have as well. So I think if you have an open mind to it, I think it's really important. But those needs assessments are really good. And then, we have conversations on a regular basis in between those official needs assessments to see where we're going, what have we done, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and those type of things. And the other thing we do too is really listen at the different levels, like I've mentioned several times. Ask our customer service folks what they need. Ask our drivers, truck drivers, what they need, right? And we get a lot of feedback and insight to sort of fill those gaps. Also, what our company does is we do a lot of, like other companies, we do engagement surveys and take some of those things, not only from a operations standpoint, but a learning and development standpoint. So we're directly involved when a company does one of those to work through it, to help them and understand those things. So I'd say that kind of is how we look at it as a whole.
That's awesome. That I feel like that gives you, by doing the surveys, you get kind of like a benchmark, but then by having like the conversations, you also get like the anecdotal references to things that really help give you the full picture, which is great. Do you have a way that you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs with any types of, this is always like a tricky question,
Is.
but like core KPIs that you report on?
Yeah, it's interesting because in my background, we always had things, from an operational standpoint. It's easy from an operational standpoint to say, okay, you hit this food cost number, you hit these numbers with your controllables. It was really all about numbers, right? And I think what we always have a challenge with in learning development is how does what we do tie into helping them make money and be successful, right? Because we don't always have what you term numbers. So I would say over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, we've looked at it but not been serious about it. And over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've really become serious about it. So what we're doing currently as a field training team, and this is now starting to spread into a lot of the other pieces and departments of groundwork, is we have a dashboard. So you talk about using technology. We've been using Tableau to combine different things that we do to give us an idea of maybe it could be return on investment, it could be some different things. So we have a dashboard and a couple key things on there. We do individual surveys ourselves, meaning when we're out in the field, and say I had a group last week combined of about 150 people, two different sessions, and we did a customer service development class. And so at the end of those, we actually do the survey right then. So like a lot of people, you have a it they can scan it right in, they can do it on their phone literally in 3 to 4 minutes. We found that to be very effective because I probably get, and I've put numbers together before, and we've done surveys for a good while, but 75 to 85% of those folks that attend those classes, when we do it right then, that's about the participation we get, which is fabulous, right?
That's great.
And, of course, it's, I don't know who filled out those surveys except for those groups, but that's been very beneficial because generally, if you send an email or something after the class or after the fact, our data and even my own data that I've seen when we did it that way was about 20%.
Wow.
So that's been very beneficial. So we actually, into our dashboard, how many surveys we have and what is our range of scores. So we have, I don't know, about 10 different things that they fill out and rate. Two of them is based on the facilitator. How did you bring the information? Were they engaged? It's specifically about us as individuals. And then they have 3 or 4 questions that have to do with the content, the material that they felt was beneficial. And then there's a couple places where they actually put in comments, things they'd like to see different. And those, the scores are great and they can give you kind of an indication, obviously, but those comments are really where it happens. But that's on our dashboard. We also on our dashboard, and we do get 360 or 180 surveys done on ourselves certain amount of times. I think I've had roughly three of those throughout the six year period. So they go out to general managers, leaders, regional managers. They also go out to folks internally that we work with. So we get that feedback, and that's also an indication, okay, are we involved the right way in what's going on out in the field? And then the other thing we do, we call it contact tracking. So we use Microsoft Teams, and we have all our companies listed. So every time we visit or do a development or have a phone call, it could be a planning call, an assessment, whatever it is, we have a place to capture that. And we're also rated by how effective we are with those things and tracking. So we can go back, we know when the conversations happen, we know what development we did. We track a number of folks that attended those developments or trainings. So we have those main things right now on the dashboard. The other thing we're really looking at is when we do specific sales trainings, and we have a couple different levels that we do. We have an advanced class, we have sales manager trainings, things like that. We actually can go in and look at companies' results of their sales folks to see, okay, they went through sales training and then they went through this. And we actually have programs in between that we work with them and see what they said they were going to do from a sales standpoint, see if that actually has brought them additional sales or success or whatever. So I would say for us, it's actually kind of exciting. We get to see just like some numbers and or results in front of us as a training team. And those same results can be shared back out with the folks that we support. So
Yeah.
I think it's a win-win. It's newer. We've been working with our dashboard for just about a year. So we're continuing to try to use that technology to get more things that we can tie into what we're doing, I guess.
Sure. That, I mean, that sounds, this dashboard that you guys have implemented over the past year sounds like a very, successful case study in and of itself. But do you have another example or of an L&D initiative or mentoring initiative even that has significantly kind of impacted? the company?
Absolutely. It was about 3 years ago. We've always had a with Row Mark an appraisal system, performance appraisals once a year. We now have a 2 year, I mean, a twice a year type appraisal that we get. But more importantly, we didn't have behavioral standards for those appraisals. So, numbers and results and things like that, that's easy. Where then you say, okay, job performance, right? Well, what does job performance mean outside of numbers?
Sure.
Right? And so what they actually did, we have 9 retail companies, and what that means is there's 9 bigger companies that we actually own that we support. So with those 9 retail companies, we or the company rolled out was called the FS Way. So for
Okay.
Row Mark employees, it was called specific ones in our office, the Row Mark Way, but really for the field, it was the FS Way. And if you can see this on the recording or behind me, there's an FS logo. And a lot of people say, well, what's that represent? Or what's this? A lot of people look for acronyms. It's not an acronym, but it does stand for just a standard. It represents a standard of excellence in what we do.
Yep.
And so how that was combined, we have 5 service excellence standards, trust, excellence, expertise, solutions, focus, and responsiveness. So those were created almost like a set of values, but behind those, there are on-key behaviors and off-key behaviors. Obviously, on-key things that you want to try to represent and off-key things you want to stay away from. And we've rolled that out to 9 retails, including the retails we have in Canada, the Midwest, the East, out here where I'm at. And we rolled that out in person as a field training team to all our 9 retails. And we did that over a 4-month period.
Wow.
And that is something that actually, it just wasn't that 2 hours and that rollout for every single person in person. It was every person, truck drivers, customer service reps, admins, leaders, salespeople, all that.
That's
We
incredible.
continue to follow up on that on a regular basis. And that is part of our performance appraisals in those 9 retail units. And then any Grow More corporate employee like myself. And also companies that we support have taken kind of that same structure. And they might not call it the FS Way, even though they have products that have that on it, but their company, they buy our products, but they've taken those same kind of on-key and off-key behaviors, tied them into their values, and then tied them into their, if they want to call them, competencies or performance standards. So I would say that in itself has been huge over the last 3 years from a behavioral standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. That's incredible. And something you all should be very proud of. You've talked about this a little bit, but what role does technology play in your programs? And, are there certain tools and platforms that you leverage to kind of enhance your L&D experiences?
Absolutely not. I'm a fan of Zoom, but and I was happy when you had set this up and it was on Zoom. Now we don't really use Zoom now. We used to. We're really integrated and committed to using Microsoft Teams to the full extent that it is. So I've of course converted to that as well. So the virtual piece has a really good niche if you use it the right way, and webinars have their place, but I think they're on the they're on the lower piece of the chain, in my opinion. We do virtual developments throughout the year, depending on the topic, depending on the audience. I mean, we're spread across, I mean, a region for me from Canada to, like I said, South Carolina, Kentucky. I can't be everywhere for everybody, right? And so the virtual piece, and we use Teams for the different subjects. And I would say our content only goes maybe an hour to hour and a half. There's some exceptions to that. But we still use that for follow-ups. We still use it for specific content. And to be quite honest with you, anybody that's on something that we do, they have to have their camera on. They have to be able to participate. They have to be focused, or it's suggested not even to get on it, right? Because how many of us, me included, throughout the years, we're on virtually, and guess what we're doing?
Yeah, you just definitely like if as soon as you lose focus, you're just something else. It's
Yeah, it is. And of course, we had to run years ago with COVID, right? And doing more of it, and but there's still a really good place for it. And I do it at particular, our busy time of the year is in our business in agriculture is April till maybe mid-June. And people like to turn off the development switch and not do anything. Right. And so that's a peak time when I kind of use it because we got to keep, I always use the term, got to keep that faucet dripping a little bit. We can't just get our non-busy times of the year to do things. We have to do them throughout. And what a better time to do some things when it's busy and you're handling more and more customers, right? And stress is higher. Whether it's in retail, it's October, November, December, different businesses or different times of the year. So that virtual piece has a really good place. We use, of course, our on-demand training, which a lot of companies do for compliance and product training, different testing that we do in agriculture. We utilize that as well. And then we also use some outside companies. One of them we've used over the last couple of years, and it's been beneficial from a behavioral standpoint, is Percipio. It's just a, an online platform that you name it, and you want to develop and take the initiative, you can work on that developing yourself. So we use all three of those, when it comes to the virtual piece.
Brian, to kind of close on a positive note, what's the most important lesson you've learned as a leader that you would pass on to someone just starting out on their journey? And this can pull from any one of your many experiences as you have such a good background there.
Well, this one's pretty personal to me because I've really been impacted by this, not only from a personal standpoint, but a leadership standpoint. I don't know, whatever has hit me over the last 2 or 3 years, but hands down, it's emotional intelligence.
Love that.
And a lot of people say those words, right?
Yeah.
And especially my personality, I'm a pretty direct person, and a personality style can also impact your emotional intelligence piece. But the two biggest things when you break, there's about five things, of course, emotional intelligence. But the two biggest things that I think are really important, whether you're a new leader or somebody that's been around forever, is first being self-aware. If you're not self-aware of either how you come across, how
Yeah.
you approach things, what your performance is, you don't have a chance of improvement if you're not self-aware, right?
Right. You think you're right. What do you have
Right?
to
And somebody else can't do it for you. The
do?
other piece of that, and I've always been, I would say, pretty self-aware. The piece that I've struggled with, and personally, was the self-regulation and how I come across. And if
Yeah.
you think of your own relationships, right, personally or professional, and so for me, those two pieces of emotional intelligence, empathy, of course, is another piece that goes in there. And quite honestly, we don't always see that in our country. We don't always see that in groups. And but I really feel, and you talk about generational things. I think that emotional intelligence piece is hugely important. The other thing I would add to that, with those two, self-awareness and self-regulation, is if you want to change yourself, you can't just say it in your mind. You better be goal setting and actually writing things down, objectives with dates, tactics that you're going to use to improve, whatever that is, right? Whether it's behavioral based or numbers or things like that. But I would say that is a big piece that I would say. The other thing that I'll close on with is, a lot of us have really good intentions. We go into things with the greatest intentions to do whatever it is, right? Again, whether it's personally or professionally. But good intentions don't mean anything. They mean zero unless you take actions. Many people, and I've heard this from, professional facilitators or those folks that I've heard this from, is without those actions, it just you can plenty of people want to be good, but they're not, either from a performance or a relationship side. I think that piece, to me, is one of the most important. It's not about the technical skills necessarily. It's not about the knowledge you have. Those are important. Don't get me wrong, you gotta have them. But we can't miss that EQ or emotional intelligence piece, in my opinion.
No, I think that's great. And you know what? That echoes what a lot of folks say for this last question here, which is some version of just remembering of all the things that we've talked about, tech, where, all of that. I think what it always comes back to is like at the end of the day, you're still dealing with people and like you have to be a person and recognize that there's other people on the other end of whatever it is that you're implementing. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today on the NovoEd Talks podcast. It was such a pleasure having you on.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again to NovoEd Talks.